As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow, along with Tom Keene and Michael McKee, and the opening bell brought to you by SEI. Imagine when asset management servicing is unconstrained by infrastructure. See how SEI's global operating platform can be your catalyst for business expansion at SEIC.com/imagine. Stocks are higher at the open. The S&P 500 up a tenth of a percent or 2 points to 1996. Dow Jones Industrial Average up a tenth of a percent or 17 points to 16,966. The NASDAQ up almost 0.2% or 7 points to 47.14. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. The yield 1.86%. Yield on the 2-year 0.86%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.8% or $9.30 to 12.67. Actually, that was COMEX gold. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $9.40 to $12.67.70 an ounce. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 26 cents to $34.85 a barrel. The euro is at $1.0971. The yen is at 113.76. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow, thank you very much. Well, this is really exciting because every jobs day, we have our usual gang of analysts and they're all here today. Muhammad has come to the mountain for a change. Scott Mather is chief investment officer at PIMCO, made his way all the way from Newport Beach into the snowstorm, here in New York. Not that it's snowing that hard, but it's still not Newport Beach weather, and has joined us here in studio. Thank you for coming in, making that effort. I noted you tweeted that you'd be on at 6:30 a.m. You're thinking Pacific time.
Yeah.
But it is 9:30 here. The jobs numbers today, we're seeing a reaction in the markets. 10-year note yield is down about a quarter of a point at this point. Yield is up to 1.87%. How high do we go? How much do we read into the strength of the economy right now?
Yeah, it is sort of a strange market reaction from my perspective. I mean, markets sort of yawned at this number. I guess they don't know what to make of the fact that there's a lot of jobs being created, but wages appear to be down, the work week's down. So that's why we're unchanged. But I think it's the type of employment number that definitely puts the Fed back in play. It certainly does.
What do you mean by that? That's an important statement.
In play is this month or?
Well, I doubt March, but certainly June. And I think that we'll hear more about that at this upcoming meeting. So, I think markets are a little bit unprepared for that and a little bit too sanguine about the possibility of the Fed being on the move in the summertime again. Certainly not the type of employment number, though, that indicates there's a recession, you know, on the horizon. And, of course, that was the concern, just a month ago. So we think it's much more reasonable that the Fed manages to move two or three times this year, and the market's not even priced for the full hike until, basically – first quarter, end of first quarter of next year. So there's quite a disconnect between where the market is, where we think the Fed will be, and then further where the Fed thinks they'll be.
Where should we be then? If you were the market, where would you set the yield?
Well, I think that it's reasonable to expect the Fed still wants to move about once a quarter until they get to a level of rates they believe is neutral. Which we think is somewhere around 2%. The Fed sort of thinks that's the number two. They talk about 0% real being the right number. So as we progress through the year and as inflation goes back up, headline inflation goes back up to the Fed's target of around 2%, by that time, in theory, they should be at neutral. That would be the end of the year.
That's the question, though, is how fast does it get there? Because the whole debate is over whether the Fed moves earlier to head it off or whether they wait and have to move faster.
Well, right. And the longer they wait, they're going to be facing some some impossible situations, right? Imagine if we do begin to see inflation move up to target, in fact, exceed target, and yet they're only at 75 basis points. And telling the market that neutral is at, long-term neutral is at 3.5, and short-term might be at 2%. I think there, what you could see happening, sort of how we think this plays out, is that the market will move from being overly obsessed about deflationary risks to putting a decent probability on the Fed allowing or maybe engineering an overshoot of inflation for a few years. And that seems quite likely. That shift will probably happen over the course of this year.
Scott, your background at Penn is in material science engineering. In the absolute textbook, which I waded through a zillion years ago, it seems, and statics and dynamics and forces and friction and all that was Goldstein. What I don't get is the inertial forces we're in right now. Things are so messed up. We've got a great distortion. We've got financial repression. Now we have negative interest rates overlaid upon that. How can you as a pro work within the Newtonian mechanics, physics, and engineering of all the theory you and I learned where we are right now? Tell us how you do that day to day at PIMCO. If you don't know where the risk-free rate is, just as one example.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there is no textbook theory to explain.
There's nothing to go off of at your Monday morning meeting at PIMCO.
Right. Well, it's one of the reasons we see the dangers of zero and negative interest rate policy growing over time. It's a function of time, in our opinion. So we think it's right for the Fed to be moving further off of zero. We think it doesn't have to be a bad thing for the economy. It's going to create some volatility in financial markets, no question about it, but we think that's probably the right thing to do to stabilize growth, to return some normalcy to the economy.
We get normalcy. You want that. Vice Chairman Fisher wants that. Chairman Greenspan wants that. And on as we move that vector to normalcy, what will be the ramifications to portfolio volatility, even if the portfolio is diversified?
So portfolio volatility will be going up, and that has to be sort of one of the, the key tenets of your outlook.
Yield here. Up, price down?
There'll be two-way action, just like we've seen this year. You'll have choppiness in the markets. You'll certainly have, use the VIX as a proxy. We think the VIX will spend most of its time around 20 rather than the low teens for the next few years.
Folks, that's the statement of the week. For all of you, we do all this mumbo-jumbo on economics and that. What Scott Mather just told you is extremely important. The complacency and lassitude that we've seen is not going to be there.
That's right. So it's going to, this adjustment process is going to result in a lot of financial market volatility. Probably not as much real economic volatility as people are concerned about, though. And that's what we've seen so far. Look at the drawdown, the volatility we had in August and September. Had no appreciable effect on underlying economic momentum. Probably the same thing is true of what happened in January and February.
Well, that's interesting because even some Fed people have started looking at those numbers and what happened and saying it may have an impact. And you have people saying, well, inflation expectations appear to have become unmoored by looking at the markets. You seem to be taking issue with that.
Well, I'm taking issue with that a bit. I think one of the features of zero rate policy, low rate policy, and certainly negative interest rate policy is it pulls down nominal yields. We would say that also pulls down inflation expectations embedded in the bond market. Nobody really talks about that too much, but just mechanically, if you pull down the 10-year nominal yield, you decompose it into inflation and real components. It's illogical to assume that all the reduction in interest rates can be attributed to the real component. You sort of will have to also pull down the expected inflation component.
I want to tease forward to equity. We saw Honeywell UTX. That fell apart. Are we going to see a lot of M&A this year? I mean, within the dynamics of the global macro system, do CFOs have a feeding frenzy even bigger than last year?
We would think so. That's a trend that probably continues. When there's little top-line growth, everyone...
You got to go find it.
Yeah. Look for ways to...
Is PIMCO going to merge with Franklin Templeton?
I think that's quite unlikely. But
okay, thank you. Well, that's our surveillance exclusive. There, we will make clear that Mr. Mather...
Headlines on news, it's not happening.
That Mr. Mather is not responsible for opining on that for the Pacific Investment Management Company. We're going to come back with Scott Mather, an important discussion. Thrilled he's in our studios in New York today. We're also thrilled to tell you oil with a better than good week. West Texas, 34.80, Brent, 37.46. Oil crisis over. That's all it means. Futures, the market rather, up 9 points.
All right, time now to check in with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines. Michael?
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. Donald Trump's Republican presidential rivals say they will support him if he wins the nomination. At last night's debate on Fox News in Detroit, Ted Cruz said he would prefer Trump to either of the Democratic presidential contenders. He also says that he is calling for getting rid of the Internal Revenue Service.
When we get rid of all the corporate welfare, all the subsidies, all the carve-outs in the IRS code, it dramatically simplifies it. And under Obama, the IRS has become so corrupt and so politicized, we need to abolish it altogether.
We will bring you more on the Republican presidential race from former nominee Mitt Romney, who will speak with Bloomberg Politics managing editor Mark Halperin at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Television and Radio. Federal and state authorities are looking for the source of a mysterious blood infection blamed for 18 deaths in Wisconsin. French aviation investigators are looking into a report that a drone narrowly missed a passenger plane during its approach to Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport. The co-pilot spotted the drone within about 16 feet of the wing of the Airbus A320 as it came in for landing. The incident happened on February 19th. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists in more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom?
Michael, thanks so much. Immensely appreciated. See you on Monday. We will continue. Scott Mather with us with PIMCO as we look for the week forward, what to think of in economics, finance, investment. Don't forget Mitt Romney, 1:30 with Mark Halperin worldwide.
Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, committed to bringing higher finance to lower carbon. Named the most innovative investment bank for climate change and sustainability by The Banker. That's the power of global connections. Bank of America N.A. FDIC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.